May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another inspiring episode of the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you may be in the world, whichever hemisphere, whichever country, whichever city, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A reminder, when you are making dua for yourself, your family, your community, then make dua for the ummah also. Make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he grants relief to the ummah. Shifa, cure to those who are sick and suffering from whatever type of ailment. Maghfirah, forgiveness for those who have passed away. And protection against the oppressors. Make another good intention that, O Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to this program, this silsila, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, insha'Allahul Kareem. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, please accept this and grant the reward as Isal al-Thawab to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Through his wasila, through his sadaqah, for his sake, transfer the reward as Isal al-Thawab to Anbiya alayhi musallam, Malaika alayhi musallam, Sahaba ikram, Khulafa Rashideen, Azwaj Mutahharat, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Ahlul Bayt Athar, Asirani Karbala, Shahidani Karbala, to the Awliya Allah, to all the Mu'mineen, Mu'minat, Muslimin, Muslimat, Marhumin, Marhumat, and our family members as well. As the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, niyatul mu'mini khayrum min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Whatever other good intentions you can think of, make it now. For each good intention, you will be rewarded through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, dear viewers and listeners, once again, we have some questions on different matters, some calls as well, inshallah ta'ala. And stay tuned. Have a diary, a notebook available so that you can write down the important Madani pearls of advices, the litanies, the wada'if and invocations as well. Because perhaps what we will be listening to via the calls, maybe that difficulty or problem you are facing, maybe that question is in your mind, or perhaps you may know somebody. And then you can share it with them with good intentions. You may share these Madani pearls as well as the invocations, and you'll earn reward, inshallahul kareem. There is a wonderful narration by Sayyidina Hudhaifa bin Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a Sahabi Jaleel, a senior Sahabi. And he says, with regards to Salat ala Nabi, the recitation of Durood e Pak, he mentions that not only does the reciter of Durood Sharif gain blessings, but also his children and his grandchildren also receive blessings. So don't stop. Make it part of your daily routine that every single day we recite some portion of the Qur'an-e-Pak. We are reciting Durood-e-Pak, Istighfar, making sincere tawbah, repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. Increase your dhikrullah throughout the day. Abstain from sins, fulfill rights of others. Be punctual with the daily salahs, perform them correctly. Learn and practice the sunnah. Learn something of deen for the day, learn a dua for the day. Obey Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In these things lie our salvation. In these things we will be fulfilling our purpose, which is to worship Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prepare for the grave, for the afterlife as well. We will request our wonderful director and our wonderful team to please go ahead with the first call for today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, I'm really enjoying this show. If I have a question, could you please provide some tips on keeping good physical fitness? Jazakallahu khaira.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Good physical fitness. Well, you know, the scholars mention there are more or less three types of health that we need to focus on for holistic well-being, for all-round well-being and good health. And if there's an imbalance in any one of these three, then the person will not properly attain good health. What are those three? Your physical health, your mental health, and your spiritual health. So physical fitness is a part of it. Because if a person is physically fit, they eat healthy, and we should eat wholesome foods. Cut down, or if possible, cut out the junk foods. You know, they say junk foods makes your mind junk. It may taste delicious, but how long does that taste remain? It is maybe tantalizing, so lovely to eat in the mouth only, the taste buds. Once it's gone down, it mixes with everything else, with the acid in your belly, from there to the small intestine and then to the large intestine and then out of the body. So the taste is momentary, but the damages last a long time. If a person is used to eating burgers and fried chips and hot dogs, pizzas and sodas and cool drinks, if that's their habit, they will end up getting sick. Home-cooked meals, wholesome foods, because you know what you're putting in there. You know which ingredients you are using. You prepare the meat and the other ingredients properly. You clean them properly. So yes, your physical health is one aspect that we must focus on. By eating healthy, by working out, by living a physically fit lifestyle. Because if a person lives a sedentary lifestyle, always sitting behind a desk, there's no walking, there's no moving about, that's going to affect them. There's two areas in particular that if we do not look after, then it will branch out into different types of medical issues and problems. The belly, the stomach, and the blood flow as well. His Eminence, Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl al-Sunnat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas al-Tar Qadri Razavi Ziyai Damat Barakatum al-Aliya, the founder of Dawud Islami, a Kamil Wali of Allah Azawajal, a great saint and scholar of Islam who is followed by tens of millions around the world, has advised us that every day, and Islamic sisters can do this in the comfort of their homes, in their rooms, in their passage, their lounge, walking. Walking will cost you nothing without the need for any gymming equipment or gym memberships, which are quite expensive. Some of them walking, minimum 45 minutes a day, he advises. The first 15 minutes, do a brisk walk at a fast pace where you break a sweat, you perspire. The next 15 minutes at your normal pace, and finally, the last 15 minutes at a brisk, fast pace, brisk walk. And he also advises, 45 minutes this is. You know, this is part of multitasking, we can say. Whilst you are walking, it's going to positively affect you physically, medically, psychologically, because you're doing something positive to keep physically fit. And you can benefit spiritually as well. Before you start, make a good intention. That, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm doing this exercise, I'm doing this walking in order to keep fit so that I can perform salah properly. And then whilst you're walking, read the glorious Quran, what you have memorized. But today you see people that are joggers and they have their hands free and they're busy listening to music, filling their ears with guna, with sin. Listen to the Quran, Ibak. listen to Natipak, Ham Sharif, Mankabat. You can download for free. Go to YouTube and check out Nath Production, the official page of Dawud Islami. So many beautiful kalams by different reciters. Listen to that, make good intentions and listen. You'll earn thawab. Or recite Dhikrullah whilst you're walking. Recite Durud-e-Pak, Salawat, Istighfar whilst you are walking. Or what about Subhanallah Azza wa Jal? Look at the facilities Dawud Islami is offering us. The audio book. You know that every week a new booklet is released. A soft copy, hard copy, along with the audio book. So you can put your earphones in, your hands-free in. Listen to it. Subhanallah. So even spiritually, you will be benefiting. The physical makeup and fitness is important. More important is the mental health of the person. If the person is depressed, stressed, always anxious and worried, that's going to affect his physical self. And the person who worries too much becomes sick. It makes the body sick. And stress today, we know that it mentally, physically drains a person. So mental health is also important. Put things into perspective. The difficulties I am facing, the tests, this world is the test. There's trials all around us. Because that the world is a prison for the believer and the paradise for the disbeliever. And scholars have mentioned this prison for the believer is temporary. Even the paradise for the disbeliever is temporary. But if we have patience, we patiently persevere. We have tolerance, we build our tolerance, our forbearance, and we continue to endure. Our salahs are maintained, established. We continuously make dua. Things will get better through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So physical health, mental health, and then the most important from all is your spiritual health. And that is with regards to ibadat, salahs, Quran, sunnah, dhikrullah, istighfar. To develop your internal self and to get rid of the spiritual diseases that we carry within us, our minds, our hearts. So these are a few tips that I have shared, and it will be great if we can apply step by step. Apply it. Watch what you eat. Those deep fried things, the excessive consumption of salt, of sugar, of fats lead to many, it increases the risk of many different types of sicknesses and diseases. So watch what you eat. Don't just live healthy, but think healthy thoughts as well. So this brings us to what we call PMA. Having a positive mental attitude. Be positive. The one who had the most positive attitude was our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Always the problem solver. Always giving, injecting positivity. Productivity. So we study the seerah. Inshallah al-Kareem. We'll get to learn so many beautiful and wonderful things that today, you know, they come up with these fancy terms. Emotional intelligence, conflict resolution, anger management and so forth. All of this is found in Islam, in the Quran-e-Pak, in the blessed ahadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And then every now and then, or regularly, visit your doctor to check your vitals, to check your blood sugar levels, your pressure, to check your other types of tests that we could reveal some hidden sicknesses. And before it increases, at least you can target those areas. Can we please go ahead with the next call? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Mawlana Sahib, I have a question. If a person is in a state of poverty, what should one do in this situation and how can one get rid of the poverty? Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Doesn't it amaze you that in this day and age of technological advancements, sophistication, AI or AGI, as some people are calling the next step, artificial general intelligence, with so many facilities and conveniences, poverty still exists in the world. Even in so-called first world nations, you'll find people who are homeless, who live on the streets, people who don't have access to clean drinking water, people who don't know where the next meal is coming from. How? It's not that there's too many people. The real problem or problems or reasons are something else. The extravagance, the luxury and the israf, the wastage on a mass scale that is taking place around the world. Around the world, especially by those who are regarded as the 1%, the elite class. The amount of wastage is unreal. This is where the true problem lies. These are the causes. Living in extravagance, luxury, and wastage. So there's something we need to understand. Remember, always put things into their perspective, according from an Islamic perspective. That this world is the test. Certainly, you and I must always put in the efforts according to the best of our abilities. As they say, work hard and work smart. Tests are from where? From who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our efforts must continue. You're going to fall. Life will throw you a curveball. You'll fall. You may fail. But the failure, the mistake, the failure is just a stepping stone to better yourself. And the true failure or the true mistake is not learning from our mistakes. That's the real mistake. But mistakes along the way is going to make you smarter. So you know in future I must avoid this area, this person. And as you navigate through this pathway, market yourself. They say if they don't know you, they won't flow you. They won't advertise you. With your consistent efforts, make sure, even if you're in poverty, your salahs are maintained, that you're still making dua. And we hear from some people, but I'm making dua for so long. I've asked so many people to make dua for me. I don't see the manifestations of these duas. It's not accepted. I don't see it. There's no change, status quo. Things are getting worse. Does that mean you must stop making dua? Of course not. Keep knocking on that door. That door will open through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He Azza wa Jal only does what is best for you and I. Even if we cannot understand the wisdom in it. Some of it we may understand. Maybe after a long period of time, some of it we may never understand. But we must know that my creator, my sustainer, my nourisher, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always does what is in my best interest. And this brings us to another point. Am I doing certain things that are keeping me in poverty? That are keeping me in a situation where there's bare barakati, deprivations? Something to think about. Financial discipline begins with personal discipline. Write down your short, medium, long-term goals, even financial goals, Islamic goals. It can help illuminate a plan forward, a plan of action on how to proceed. Create a budget and live within your budget. Spend on what is necessary. It's your needs versus your wants. Avoid impulsive buying and learn how marketing strategies, they influence us to spend more than we need to. And for this reason, you go into the shop, you need bread, you need milk, you need eggs, the basics. It's right at the back. So as you're moving through the aisles to get there, this will catch your eye. Discount, that will catch your eye. Sale, this will catch your eye. It's designed. So you spend more. Impulsive buying. Avoid it. You have your list, these 5 items. Discipline, remember? Financial discipline starts with personal discipline. Make sure that you go in there for that, for those items and you're coming out with those items, check where is my money being wasted and cut out unnecessary expenses, rather funnel that money towards some type of halal investments. And teach your children to also budget. Save, that they must budget, they must save, they mustn't waste their spending money, is just like that. I'll give you an example. We can apply this in our lives, but also to train and to teach children how to budget, how to also save. That take for example, I'm going to use South African currency, Rand, you can substitute it with your currency. For the week, if I told my child that, you know, I'm going to give you 50 Rand spending money for the week, just an example, instead of just handing it over, make a deal with your child, like a transaction, that you fulfill these chores, simple chores, by helping out around the house, making their beds, making sure that their clothes, their dirty clothes are in the laundry, neatening up in the home. And then of course, your obligations, or if they're little children even, that you're reading salah, so many times durood e pak you must eat every day, so many times dhikrullah, istighfar, then I will give you this 50 rand to spend. But I'm not going to give you the whole 50 rand. It belongs to me, but this is the deal I'm making with you. You do all those things, read your salahs, do this, read the Qur'an Pak, you do these chores. Now the 50 rand, I'm going to take out some money from there. Here's a tin, and write their savings. I'm putting a 10 rand into that tin. Here's another tin. I'm putting another 10 rand, rainy days, emergency. And here's another tin, sadaqah, charity. So 10, 10, 10, 30 rand. You got 20 rand, which you can spend on whatever you want. Of course, we need to also influence them on how to spend, on what kind of things to spend on, whether edible or something they want to buy, some items for themselves. Or if you wish, you can put them in any of these three: savings, emergency fund, and sadaqah, charity. At the end of the month, this charity, we're going to give it to a poor Muslim. And let them give it with their own hands. You're going to help them to budget. You're going to help them to become more disciplined, responsible, because you're giving them those chores that they're going to earn this. It's a simple and lovely way if we can apply. If you owe anybody, any institution money, write that down. Work on removing those loans. Beautiful dua that we should make every day. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramika wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. What a beautiful dua. Especially for those who have loans and debts that they owe. Don't forget regular sadaqah, charity. And from that experiment that we mentioned, that's what you're also going to teach your child. That money is not everything. Because that's what they're promoting out there. Even through the cartoons, through the social media, through the advertising, money is everything. You need to teach and influence your child not to attach their heart to loving this world, to loving money and commodities, that we use it, but for our afterlife, in preparation for our afterlife. The pious traders of before, do you know how they would divide their profits into three portions? And they were extremely successful. One portion for their personal expenses, for their bills, food, etc. One portion they would inject back into their business or some other investment. And the third, into the community. Because, you know, those people of the public in the community, they're going to buy from our stores. So the money is rotating. It's not only restricted to a 1% of people, whilst the majority are suffering. Okay, for quick debt relief, the ulama ikram have said that the person who recites Surah At-Takathur, Al-Hakum At-Takathur, the whole surah, 300 times, with Durood e Pak once before and after, inshallah al-Kareem, he will gain quick relief from debts. Surah At-Takathur, 300 times. Read the following, and 100 times in the morning and evening, every day, with Durood Sharif once before and after, until your purpose is fulfilled. We just mentioned that dua. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramika wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. This means, O Allah, grant me lawful sustenance and save me from that which is unlawful. And with your grace, make me independent of everybody except you. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua. And this dua has proven effects. If a Muslim regularly recites this dua once after every salah, he will remain protected from death and oppression. And you can find this dua in the beautiful book that every Muslim household, besides the glorious Quran, should have a copy of, Madani Panj Surah. For the person who is facing, who is in poverty, who is facing destitution, every night after Maghrib or after Isha, recite Suratul Waqi'ah. Idha waqa'atil waqi'ah. The whole surah, one time. Inshallah al-Kareem, that person, they will never face destitution, or the destitution will be removed. Also for barakah, for blessings, recite Surah Quraysh. Li'ilafi Quraysh. 7 times after every salah. Recite the following 100 times after duha salah, salatul chasht. Allah Azza wa Jal willing, there'll be blessings in your sustenance. 100 times. Ya basitu, ya basitu, ya basitu. Simple, easy. It'll take you a few minutes only. Also, recite the following 100 times after every salah, and then make specific dua for halal sustenance. You will gain halal sustenance, Allah Azza wa Jal willing. 100 times after every salah. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Try to practice upon these, inshallah. Remember, make sure your salah is established, you are fulfilling rights, what is obligatory upon you, that is fulfilled to the best of your ability. And then do these things with good intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open those doors. Let's go ahead with the next call, please. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, very beautiful program going on. I'm really enjoying it. And I do have a question though. What can we do in particular to increase our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah. What a beautiful question. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his love is the heartbeat of Iman. That is missing. Or if any other individual in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a greater love, if we have a greater love for any other individual in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then guess what? That person's Iman is not complete. There are certain signs of loving the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to share some deeds that can draw us closer to the love of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlawi rahmatullah alayhi, he says that a sign of faith for a true believer is that he loves and respects the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam more than everyone and everything. He gives precedence to fulfilling the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, the believer who observes the teachings of Islam, adopts the sunnah, reveres the holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gives priority to pleasing the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over his own family, parents, relatives, and even wealth, he prefers losing his life to breaching the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hakimul Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Na'imi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, has noted that a sign of loving the holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to love his commands, to fulfill the commands that he had brought, to emulate him, to imitate his sunnah. The sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living the perfect lifestyle. To obey the Quran, to obey the words of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to even revere the dust of his city, Al-Madinatul Munawwarah, Zadahullahu Sharafu wa Ta'zeema. And anything and everything connected to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like his honorable companions, the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, his purified household, the Ahlul Bayt Athar, and whatever is connected to him, the barukat, relics, sacred Islamic relics. To respect those also is to respect the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To love those things is to love the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To befriend the friends of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to hold animosity for his enemies. Being detached from material possessions. Considering poverty superior to affluence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, poverty reaches the people who love me quicker than a flood reaches its destination. Study his seerah, his life, that will draw you closer to imitate him, to walk, to follow his footsteps, to love him. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a man asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the day of judgment? The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, woe to you, what have you prepared for it? The man responded, I have not prepared anything for it, except that I love Allah and His Rasul. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then declared, indeed, you will be with the one whom you love. And guess what? Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu commented thereafter. He says, I did not see the Muslims rejoice over anything after Islam as much as they rejoiced over this. This man was a deeply pious and devout worshipper. Yet he didn't regard all his good deeds as preparation for Qiyamah. He considered these pious deeds, his good deeds, to be blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had received and was still receiving in this world, for which he was grateful. He said that his only preparation for the afterlife is his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his love for the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In commentary to this narration, Allama Ali Al-Qari rahmatullah ta'ala Ali has mentioned that this is because all these deeds are branches of love. Are branches of love and stem from it. And love is the highest stage of for travelers on the path of truth. And the highest rank for those who soar towards the heights. This love is the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love or is a result of it. So, our elders used to tell us something very nice, that love forces the lover to follow the beloved. Even if I'm not inclined to this thing, my beloved said, do this, my eyes are closed, my ears are closed, labbaik. Don't do this, labbaik. We need to reach those levels of ita'ah, obedience, and then you see differences in your life. You see how your heart is filled with sukoon. Aren't we all searching for that tranquility, happiness, joy, fulfillment, peace of heart, contentment of heart, peace of mind? We want that. Yes, many people are searching for these things in the absolutely wrong places. They think in drugs, in clubs, in pubs. They think in alcohol, in entertainments, they will receive fulfillment and happiness. And they just end up destroying themselves. They end up lonely. They end up depressed. No matter what fame they have or how much wealth they have, they'll always be walking around with that hole in themselves, in their hearts, in their minds. No sukoon, no tranquility. That loves in the dhikr of, it lies in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It lies in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you say about a person who loves pious people but has not been able to reach their rank in deeds? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with the one whom he loves on the Day of Judgment. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, through the portion of the blessed hadith mentioned in this chapter, that a person will be with the one whom he loves, has indicated that the true standard for this claim of love, which becomes a means of proximity in the afterlife, is none other than following the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Study his sunnah, apply, implement it practically in your life, in your homes, and in the lives of your offspring as well. Recite salawat, durud-e pak in abundance. This will draw you closer to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will strengthen your connection to him, and will build your love. Love those things which he loved, his sahaba, his ahlul bayt, good deeds. Emulate him to the best of your ability, and you will see wonderful blessings in your life. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.